Mark 14, verse 1. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But during the feast, they said, but not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a man came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Heavenly Father, as we have gathered together at this appointed time and appointed place, we ask that you come this way now and open our eyes that we might see. Touch our ears and give us ears to hear thy truth. And warm our hearts, Lord. Warm our hearts that we might experience you, for we have gathered to worship in thy name. Amen. Be seated. It is an honor to be with you this morning. The last time that we were here, it was the memorial service, the celebration of life for one of the most precious people I've ever known, my mother-in-law, Brenda Cash. And then when we were on our way home, that was on a Saturday, the day before, we had put my brother in hospice in Shepherd's Cove in Albertville, and I called to check on my brother, and he had died during the service. So when Walter asked me to bring the message this morning, I thought, wow, what a way for me to walk back in that church. But it is an honor to be with you on this day, All Saints Sunday, in the calendar church year. A wonderful time that we can be mindful, indeed, of those who have gone before. But I want to do that in going back in time, some 2,000 years ago plus, to a time, a beautiful story that Mark shares with us, and John shares with us in his gospel as well, about the anointing of Jesus at Bethany 2 days prior to his death. It's a beautiful story, and I want us to go back there as best you can. And I know sometimes when preachers say, let's think about, let's put ourselves there, it's not always easy to do, but let's try our best. We're going to go back in time. Find yourself there inside the story. However you may be, you might be one of the 12 disciples. You might be a dinner guest of Simon the leper. You might even choose to be Simon the leper, the former leper, I guess we should say. That's why he's there, by the way. It appears that Jesus had healed him at some point in time, and he wanted to bring honor to Jesus, this nomadic rabbi, and so he invited him for this dinner on this night. Find yourselves there. What is your reaction to what this woman did that evening? Think about the aroma that floated through the house. There's no way that you can escape it. As she breaks the jar, and immediately this beautiful aroma begins to just float through the air. And as she's pouring it upon Jesus and anointing his body, the aroma gets stronger and stronger. You cannot help but experience that. Now look at the expressions of the people there. Look at their expression and the shock that everyone has on their face. Because no matter what you're thinking about this right now, you can't help but to be shocked. You may understand the cost of that perfume. And so you may be wondering why on earth she would have poured the whole thing out. It might have been one thing for her to take just a little bit, but no, she broke the jar in such a way that all of it was used. We know that there were some who had great disagreement with what she was doing. What a waste of money, they thought. So much good could have been done with if we'd taken this perfume and sold it and use that money for good. What's your reaction to what she did? Have you ever thought about the story and put yourself there and how you would have? Now we know 2,000 years plus this side of Calvary, we understand the story. It makes a little bit more sense to us this side of Calvary, but they're there. They have no idea what's about to happen to Jesus in 2 days. To them, he's still this nomadic rabbi. Granted, he's got a great following. He not only has 12 disciples that he handpicked, but he has hundreds and sometimes thousands of people sitting to hear him talk. But they have no idea in 2 days he'll be dead. So if you're there at the moment, in time, how do you react to what was done to Jesus with this perfume? Now, pause the story. We're going to pause right there. We'll come back. But let's think for a moment about this day. I want us to spend some time thinking about legacies. How will you be remembered when you're gone? Have you ever thought about it? One of the cherished people in our family is Uncle Hal. And when he came in this morning, and I greeted him, he said the words that I've heard him say more than once. I said, "How are you?" We call my son Jeremiah. He used to call him Big Tall Man when he was little. I said, "So he's Uncle Big Tall Man." And I said, "How are you this morning?" And he said, "It's good to be seen. Better to be seen than be viewed." And I went, "Well, yeah, that's true. That's very true." But for a moment, let's think about legacies. How will you be remembered when you are no longer here? How will God recall the days of your life while you were here on earth? One might leave behind riches or land, perhaps some other worldly possession. I, for one, desire to leave a legacy of spiritual riches. But how will you be remembered? When we think about the people in the Bible who left a legacy, the list could be numerous. Noah building the ark before the flood. Abraham and the covenant that God made with him. Isaac, Jacob, when he wrestled with God. Joseph and his brothers, who of course later became the 12 tribes of Israel. Samson and his great strength. David, the shepherd boy who became king. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. How about Boaz and Ruth, Elijah, Isaiah, Micah, Moses, Joshua, and the list goes on and on. And that's just a short list of great people we read about in the Old Testament. If we would look at the New Testament for a few moments, we might think about Peter, James, and John, and we could just kind of pause and say, well, how about all the 12 disciples? Well, maybe not 12, let's go with 11. What about Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark and Luke and Timothy? I think you get the picture. Each of these people that I just named from the Old Testament and the New Testament played a role in advancing the kingdom of God. Those people who lived prior to the coming of the Messiah believed the Messiah was indeed going to come. And so while they waited, God used their lives, and the message of the love of God was proclaimed. They were waiting, but they lived in such a way that they anticipated that indeed the Messiah would come. It was a message of love. And through the prophets, a message of love as far as judgment. So the Old Testament people that we read about, they had a purpose. And their legacy was the Messiah is coming. And they lived their life in such a way that the advancement of the kingdom of God was indeed done. Differently than the way it was in the New Testament. But nonetheless, you look at the Old Testament and you see their legacy. What God did through their lives. And when we look at the New Testament era, they could take the message that they received from the Old Testament and bring it full circle. As they not only witnessed the coming of the Messiah, they saw and understood the very reason that he came. And so their legacy was a little bit different. The Messiah came to proclaim the good news and to bring life to the good news. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came to give his life for the ransom of the world. This nomadic rabbi, who so many followed for 2.5-3 years, was revealed to have been the Messiah that those in the Old Testament proclaimed was indeed coming to redeem the world. And through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, those who believe are indeed justified, redeemed, and brought into the family of God. All through the legacy that those in the Old Testament and in the New Testament left for us. Because, my friends, if those in the New Testament, those who were there when Jesus came, those who were there when he died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, if they had not continued to bring forth the message, we would not be here today. And so they left a legacy for us to look at and to learn from as they passed on to us the love of Christ. And now, back to the story. While the voices of those who ridiculed Mary were loud, Jesus spoke some very powerful and moving words. You remember what he said? Well, they were indignant and wondering why on earth that this waste of money. And Jesus says, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. Very moving words. And if we were there and we heard him say those things, it may take us back for a second. We may wonder why he would have said all of this. And then he goes on. He says, the poor you'll have always, and you can help them any time, but you will not always have me. Huh. one of the last times, one of the very last times that he's trying to tell them, I won't be here much longer. And then here are some words that jumped out at me as I was thinking about this message. Listen to these words. This is the NIV translation. She did what she could. She did what she could. Now we know that Jesus goes on and says that what she did was to prepare his body for burial. But those first words, she did what she could. I'll ask you the question, how about you? What have you done for the kingdom of God? Jesus said that Mary did for him that what Mary had done would be remembered throughout the ages, and that is true. Think about it. For over 2,000 years, ministers have stood up and spoken about this very moment. What she did has been remembered for over 2,000 years. She did what she could. How long will people talk about you after you're gone? Ever thought about it? And what will they say about you after you're gone? Are you living a life that glorifies God and helps to grow the kingdom? Will others make it to heaven because of you? On this All Saints Day, when we think about those who have gone before, they fit into many categories. Family, friends, associates. And mainly on this day, I guess we think more about family or our close friends on this All Saints Day. And most of them did something to help us in our journey. But what about you? What will they say about you? How long will they talk about you? What have you done? She did what she could. Think about those words. She did what she could. I want those who recall my life to remember that Jesus was alive in me. I may not leave much behind for my family, but I will leave my experiences of Christ for them. I pray that I will leave a clear path so that others, whoever they may be, will find their way home. What about you? I ask you one last time, what will be your legacy? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
In a few moments, I will be reading the names of those that we will be honoring and remembering. After I read each name, the bell will toll, and then I invite one or more members of the family or the friend to come forward. You will take the candle lighter and you have to push up on this button so that the wick comes out. You'll get light from the main candle and light the next candle front to back in sequence. As I read the name,